We said last week that in the East, Epiphany and Baptism of the Lord are all celebrated as one feast. And Christmas has three different themes running all through the Christmas season. One is the Incarnation, the other is Manifestation or Epiphany, and the third one is the Baptism. But there's really a fourth kind of in there too, and we're going to get to that in a minute. So Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, and the question that has always been raised among Christians' minds and hearts is, why? If he is God, why was he baptized by a human? And John even says, you should be baptizing me. Why would Jesus have to be baptized? Why would he have to become Son of God when he already was for all eternity? And the answer to that question, I suppose, is that he didn't do it for himself, but for us. One of the things that scriptural writers and theologians have said over the centuries is that while other people were made holy by the waters of the Jordan, baptized by John, Jesus made the waters holy. And that water flows into the Dead Sea, and one of the biblical images is that the Jordan River made holy flows into the saltiest sea on earth and turns it fresh, and creatures can live there. Well, I don't know if you've read much about the Dead Sea, but it is so salty that nothing lives in it. In the ocean, there are saltwater fish, but there is nothing that lives in the Dead Sea. It is that salty. So to have that image of the waters of the Dead Sea made fresh by the Jordan is a good image about the relative impossibility of certain things that can be transformed by God, who can do anything. So he doesn't become God's Son at the baptism, but it's manifested, it's announced by the presence of the Spirit and the voice from above. So for our benefit, we get to know that about him, but it didn't just happen at that time. However, he is the firstborn of the new creation, and so what he undergoes at his baptism is different from what everybody else is undergoing. They're undergoing a baptism of repentance, of forgiveness of sin. He has no sin to forgive. He is being transformed into the new creation. He's the firstborn of the new creation of grace. So he's the new Adam. He, in the way that Adam and Eve begin the human race all those years ago, now Jesus begins the new creation in grace. And these are children of God. All of us who are baptized into him, and we are then children of God and heirs of the kingdom, and we have been transformed into something that we were not before. That fourth element that I mentioned is the wedding feast at Cana. And there's nothing in the scripture readings for the liturgy this weekend that mention that, but it's in that first hymn we sang on the way in. And at Cana, wedding guest, in thy Godhead manifest, manifest in power divine, changing water into wine. So something that's always occurred to me is, what does the wedding feast at Cana have to do with Christmas? Because Christmas is about the infant Jesus, isn't it? But it's also about the adult Jesus at his baptism. And it's also about his first miracle, the wedding feast at Cana, changing water into wine. So it's a kind of a reminder, first of all, that Christmas is not just about baby Jesus. It's about the whole mystery of incarnation in God in Jesus and God in the church in you and me. But secondly, it's about salvation as something larger than just being redeemed. We are not objects of redemption, as if God cooked up this whole scheme to solve the problem of human sin. No, it's about manifesting what we are destined to be, and not just objects of redemption, but subjects of redemption. And here's what I mean by that. Salvation doesn't just mean that we get saved from hell, and it doesn't just mean that we get to go to heaven. It means divinization. It means becoming divine. So the transformation that happens in our baptism is more than just forgiveness of sins. It's the transformation of us into children of God, into divine life. And so changing water into wine makes us think of Eucharist, and here's another miracle that takes place every time we celebrate the Mass. These common elements of bread and wine get transformed into the body and blood of Christ so that we can further more powerfully believe that we get transformed into God. So the heavenly banquet is not a bunch of human beings eating the meal of the kingdom. It's sharing at the table of the Trinity, sharing divine life, living out the fullest meaning of self-sacrifice, of Eucharist, and receiving that back from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody else there too. It's so much more dynamic than sitting on a cloud and strumming a harp, you know, for all eternity. And that will just go deeper and deeper and more profound, and we'll understand it and appreciate it and love it more fully for all eternity. If we can believe that Christ could change water into wine, then we must believe that he can also change you and me into him. If we can believe that he can change bread and wine into his body and blood, why is it we have such difficulty believing that he could change us into his body and blood? But that's actually what's happening here. And it's much more important than what happens to the bread and wine. God isn't all that turned on to bread and wine. He's turned on to humans. And he goes into the bread and wine so that he can go into us. We're the point. We're the object of redemption transformed into the subject of redemption. And one of the things we're going to do in a few minutes is we're going to offer this sacrifice along with Christ for the salvation of the world. Because we share in his redemptive activity. If we are subjects, if we are divinized, then we're not just praying for our own salvation. We are offering ourselves, like the Father, Son, and the Spirit, for the salvation of the world. We become instruments of salvation for the world.